listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. It was funny. I was on Beth's program this morning, CSC Talk Radio, and I'm there waiting for her to come on, and she was having a hard time connecting to the program. They had time issues. They had the computer issues. She couldn't get connected right away. And I told her, I says, well, maybe it is our electric personalities that is interrupting all the waves and so forth. And, well, maybe that's true because we have the same issues here. So it's just carrying from one program to another. But anyway, with all that said, thank you for joining us today. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. And today we had a good day, had a decent day in gold. It only went down 250, had a high of 1646. But we're currently in the New York spot price, $1,638. Silver's up 2 pennies at $1,731. Platinum was down $1 at $880. And palladium recovered somewhat. They lost yesterday, up 65, up 2.73% at $2,599. And of course, all the markets were, they did react positive today based on the Jerome Powell's rate cut yesterday. Took them a day for it for people to take note or whatever, but so you had strength in the dollar, up 0.21 at 97.37. crude oil was down 0.13 at 47.05, and we have the paper markets today. They rejoiced. So everything that made the market go down, it's all hunky-dory. Remember those? Hunky-dory. Everything's all fine right now. The Dow was up 1,173 points at 27,090. The NASDAQ was up 334. That's 334. 9,018. S&P was up 126 at 3130. 10-year yield, still below 1%, 0.99. That's just incredible. That'll keep you ahead of inflation, won't it now? And let's see. London, you know, all the markets were good. All the markets reacted to the Fed's drop in rates. I believe Canada did a half a point. I think they did a half a point today. And the rest of the world's going to follow just to keep these economies and these stock markets stronger, just to take a little bit of that somewhat fear. You know, our indicators showed that there was a lot of fear in this markets, but yet there was a lot of numbers. I don't know. It was just a very strange market. And of course, they're pumping in another $100 billion in the repo market. So, you know, the Fed can't cut back on that. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Wendy Wilson, I don't know if Dave is here.
I'm here.
Is Dave here?
He'll be back.
All right, Wendy, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us today. So,
what are we going to talk about?
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about eye chemistry today. Our sight's very precious, and we're going to find out why you like those Cinemir eye drops so much today. On a chemistry level, yes. So, failing sight negatively impacts our life, diminishes the quality of life. So, we're going to look at why it's important to have certain mineral elements for the eyes. So medical scientists are listing the retina of your eye as the most important part because without it working correctly, your visual signals don't reach your brain. So the retina connects to the optic nerve, which connects the vision from the eye to the brain. So the retina is composed of what they call photoreceptor nerve cells. They call them rods and cones, which change the light to electrical impulses and sends them through the optic nerve to the brain as images. So the retina detachment, if you had one, creates a blackout and no images reach your brain. So the iris is that colored part of the eye, and it's an adjustable, has an opening that adjusts in front of the eye, allowing light in. And the iris and the retina work in tandem, so we can see a wide range of light levels all at one time. Now the iris has many tiny muscles that constrict or dilate to control the iris and the light entering in. So let's say you have a visual disability. The lens of the eye sits behind this iris. Now, when you get a cataract, it forms, it's possible to look at that black part of your eye, and you can actually see the clouded lens in there when the cataract gets severe enough. So cataracts are oxidized proteins, stick to the lens, causes all that cloudiness, blocks the light, distorts the light passing through, and the lens causes all those visual problems that we have. So if you have a cataract, your symptoms would be cloudy or blurry vision, halos from light, bright lights, wavy lines, double vision, usually in one eye that happens, color changes where, you know, you may see greens and blues differently, frequent eyewear prescription changes, as well as you swelling cataracts. If the cataract swells, it creates an improved temporary farsighted vision, so your farsightedness or your near vision improves. And then your contact lenses, if you're wearing them, no longer improve your sight at all, so you're out of those if you have a cataract. And let's talk about the cataract label, because cataracts can form in different areas of the lens. So if they form in the central part of the lens, they are called nuclear cataracts. If they start forming on the outside of the lens or the cortex, they're called cortical cataracts. Now, if children develop cataracts, they're called congenital or infantile cataracts. So if the clouding of the lens occurs next to the lens capsule, either anterior or posterior, they're referred to as subcapsular cataracts. And the posterior subcapsular cataracts, they tend to develop quickly and they impact vision very suddenly. I've actually talked to a few people that are just shocked by that. Well, let's get to this really, really neat report, Melanie. It's a 1936 report. So get in your time capsule and travel back. And we're going to look at what Dr. John Cooper reported on nutritional herbs that support healthy vision. Interestingly, he was looking at the Sinemere monomia plant, and in his report, it was published in January 11, 1936 in the British Medical Journal. So Dr. Cooper also wrote a report in May 1924 that appeared in the Lancet Journal, and the title of his research was The Medical Treatment of Cataracts. So he was very well aware of the eye cataract and what it takes to keep the eye healthy. So he was looking at the Sinemere plant, and it's a silver-looking plant. It has these big silver-looking leaves. Common names are silver dust and silver ragwort. So what Cooper's report seems to have been kind of lost in the modern world, and we have 100 million people suffering from vision loss from cataracts and that need to. So Dr.
Big
Cooper's
business.
Well, I know. And we're going to get to that in a minute. You're going to see an example. Dr. Cooper explains that the vision-saving plant was endorsed by, in his day, two ophthalmic surgeons. And he reports, his report was quite the sensation back in 1936. It was in all the daily papers. So Dr. Cooper, he wasn't a stranger. He was not a stranger to the monomia plant because he had been using the plant himself for over 25 years, and he was just about to discover why the plant helped preserve eyesight. So he's been using it, but he didn't know how the plant influenced vision. So it appears that the Sinemere monomia plant has been used for centuries by many ethnic tribal groups of the Southwest United States. The Navajo, the Hopi, the Sunni Indians used it. Herbalists in Mexico sold it, and they would wildcraft the herb in the Grand Canyon where it would grow. Dr. Cooper found reports that bees pollinate the plant, and the plant's chemicals were also found in the milk of mammals, so mammals would eat that plant as well. So the plant is referenced now in the early editions of the Physician's Desk Reference, or also known as PDR. So if people don't know what Physician's Desk Reference is, it's a book that's published every few years, and it lists all your drug and your side effects and this and that. So it was in the Physician's Desk Reference. It was approved by the FDA, the use of Montemia plant. This is what it said in the early edition. It said, Sinemere monomia is a plant extract of Sinemere marketed for local applications of the eye as safe, to increase circulation in the intraocular tissues and normal metabolism function, so necessary for normal physiology of the eye. So they were really promoting this plant, this herb, as a health benefit. So this entry was later removed from the physician's desk reference in 1987 because cataract surgeries were becoming popular. And today we have 3.8 million cataract surgeries per year. So there's the reason they take that out of there. But lots of ancient writings that Dr. Cooper came across. He marveled at the ancient writings of this natural use of the plant. He quoted and said, "It is used as a natural aid to stop or abort opacities, also known as cataracts, of the eye." So, and he wanted to know what was in the plant. So, Dr. Cooper is mostly, he's a researcher, and he basically established this plant that helps with eyesight based on the chemistry standpoint. Here is what he published. He said, "The plant owes its virtue to the potassium and iodine it contains. It is a remarkable plant. It has what is called iodine of potassium." So according to Dr. Cooper, the universal cure for cataract is potassium, calcium, and iodine, and the Siamander plant has that in a balanced form, and in chemistry, it's a chemistry specific, according to him. So he writes about what a cataract is really doing, and this was really kind of interesting. He says, "The subcapillar cataracts, the clouding of the lens that occurs next to lens capsule, also called senile cataracts," he says, "it describes the death of the lens fibers. As the necrosis continues, the potassium gradually diminishes, and potassium is a food for the lens cells. And so glutathione oxidizes, and it removes hydrogen. It creates a better crystalline cortical cataract outside region of the lens, and cataracts, or most senile cataracts, start to develop in that region." So he says the lens, he describes the chemical makeup of the lens in both human and animals, and this is why a lot of these herbs are also great for using for your pets that have cataracts. So he states that small amounts of these elements are part of your lens makeup. So organic forms of these elements, he said, are really potent and important rather than using isolated mineral forms. So did you get that part? Use the whole chemistry that you would see in the plant, not isolated potassium here, calcium there, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So the lens contains these elements that function as catalysts in the health of the lens. He says there's potassium, calcium, iodine, aluminum, boron, iron, lithium, magnesium, manganese, sodium, phosphorus, lead, that was interesting, silicon, strontium, zinc, and silver. And remember you asked me what was the most important thing I thought was the reason for people having poor health, and what did I say? Minerals. The lack of minerals.
Yep.
So when Dr. Cooper examined the plant along with his associate, Dr. Judd Lewis, they examined the chemical makeup of the Sinemia monomia plant, and they found it to contain all the elements Dr. Cooper found in the eye lens. The plant contains 15% potassium, 10% calcium and sodium, and then the other elements of aluminum, manganese, iron, phosphorus, all those are in equal amounts in less percentages than the previous elements I just mentioned. So the elements were well balanced to match what was in the lens of your eye. They report that the calcium, potassium were highly essential for the health of the eye lens. And these elements assist in circulation of the eye, reduces inflammation, and help prevent infection. So this is why when you use those drops, your eyes feel less tired.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's correct. That's true.
So what Dr. Cooper said in the British Medical Journal article that he wrote back in 1936, he said, "Cataracts is a specific metabolic disease, but the medical trend is to report it as an alteration of the whole organism rather than a purely mechanical change in nutrients." So he says cataracts is attributed to sclerosis, separation of the fiber layers, decreasing the regenerative process in the lens, causing dehydration and shrinkage, and such changes are not normal to healthy aging lenses and have a cause which initiates them. So that's what I've been saying. Cataracts are common, but they're not normal as you age. Because if you think about it, Moses was over 100 years old, and God made sure we knew he had eyes that were not dim. So it's nutrients. We're lacking nutrients that caused the cataracts. So the Native American Indians, they didn't know what the chemistry is about.
Let me ask you a question, though. But as we age, don't we naturally lose those minerals? I mean, isn't that part of the aging process?
No, we have to replenish them. We're not replenishing them. Yeah, so the body doesn't hold on to a lot of them. You have to keep putting them in. So the body doesn't manufacture them. But some of the things that promote an exodus of the minerals that would create cataracts is smoking, a lot of alcohol, malnutrition, trauma, prescription drugs like steroids, statin drugs, cardio meds, headache drugs, diabetes, ultraviolet light, and if you have a occupation as a welder, you're at risk of cataracts. So all important things, get that nutrition in. And if you're having trouble with that, you know, we have the Centimere Monomia plant eye drops that are really fabulous. So they're just $22. So,
you know, to me, it always amazes me that they can see, they can see cataracts forming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, years before they're even an issue. I mean,
right.
20 they don't want years, 30 years or something?
Well, they say, you know, it'll be years before you have to do anything about them, but you're burning daylight to do something about
it.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so there's no prevention. There's no proactiveness there. It's just, well, we'll just take out your lens and give you an artificial one. I like to keep my original equipment as long as I can.
Yeah.
So people need to be educated on how they can do that. And the medical establishment doesn't educate people like that. So...
Well, you started doing these drops about what, 6 months ago, 8 months ago?
We started getting them in August last year. The Centimere drops come from Germany. They're not making them here in the United States. The Ocumed ones are also for cataracts. They make that here. You're not a big fan of that one. So, the Ocumed is approaching it at a different angle. It's dissolving. It's an antioxidant dissolving the oxidized on the lens, the oxidization of the lens. And the other one is approaching it from the nutrient standpoint. See.
Wendy, I wasn't following the time. It was so interesting. Quick, give us your number. We're out of time.
Sure. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. We're having a sale, 20% off. So save, save, save. See you guys later.
Thank
Bye.
You. We'll be right back. So please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away, I don't know what.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I mentioned in the beginning of the program that I was on CSC Talk Radio this morning with Beth Ann, and I ran a little special there, and I will continue to do so through this program. We got a few of them left. It's a 1 ounce American Gold Eagle coin, and these are silver rounds. I got a really good price on them, so I'm extending that price to you also. And so you'll get 21 ounce silver rounds. You get one ounce American Gold Eagle. And I'm only charging $8 for shipping, and it's all included for $2,050. $2,050. It's a great little deal for your bullion gold coin, and of course your 1 ounce silver rounds. I do believe I have both generic and buffalo rounds, so they're great buys. Just give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And if you want to upgrade those silver rounds to silver eagles, we could do that for you. We can figure it out, still give you a good price on the silver eagles, and you'll still be able to take advantage of the special pricing that I did for the two, for the gold eagle and the silver rounds and or silver eagles. Well, we all know that the Fed cut the rate yesterday, and the markets were a little slow to react, but they reacted today very strongly. And, you know, it's probably just the first of many, of multiple efforts to take out any fear from the markets, from whatever you might consider a fear, whether it be the coronavirus, whether it be, you know, the financial markets and how that coronavirus will affect those markets, even though these markets were already headed into recession. Well, let's not forget that. It's exactly what happened in 2001. We were already heading into a recession. Airliners were ready to go belly up and everything else, and 9/11 happened, and all of a sudden everybody forgot about the recession that we were heading into. And until it was followed, because they created all kinds of programs, they found different ways and efforts, multiple efforts to stem that fear, and created the subprime mortgages in 2008 is history now, and likely to be repeated very soon. So, and Wall Street always expects the Fed to follow up with another cut in a few weeks. I think they may meet again on March 18th, and if they don't do it in March, their meeting this month, they'll probably do it in April. In fact, if reaction from Tuesday's move is any indication, it will take a lot more for the Fed to induce more leverage into these markets in order to keep it going. Bill English, he's formerly of the Fed and now a Yale professor, said that the question from here is what further adjustments do they make? The answer to that is when their outlook of the economy changes, it may be appropriate to do something more. That's going to be a hard thing to communicate over the months. And we know they wanted to cut back on the repo market beginning February 14th, and now they're putting in $100 billion a night. So they couldn't cut back. That should be a real clear indication of exactly what's happening. And if you want to just and focus on the markets, that means that the markets will be demanding more action, because these markets know government and the Federal Reserve will comply. So investors know they will comply, Dave.
Yes, they do, by and large. Jerome Powell sought to quell some anxiety yesterday when, during a news conference after the announcement of the cut, he said that he and the Federal Open Market Committee are prepared to use our tools and act appropriately depending on the flow of events. Oh, excuse me one second. That's hard to take in. The markets didn't like it, though, and as we now know, they sold off sharply, both during and after those comments. One source of disappointment may have come when Powell indicated that he doesn't foresee the Fed expanding its balance sheet through asset purchases or quantitative easing in response to current conditions. Well, and yet, as we will talk about in a minute, and as Melody alluded to, they're certainly being quite active in the repo market operations. Now, George Selgin of the Cato Institute said what they should have done is said, we're going to do whatever it takes. It's the path forward that's more important than the step taken immediately.
And that's what we always say on this program. It isn't what the Fed does, it's what they say.
That's right. Words do matter, ladies
Words
and gentlemen.
Do matter.
This whatever it takes approach would echo former European Central Bank President Mario Draghi's promise in 2012 to pull out all the stops to address the Eurozone's debt crisis back then. The pledge was widely seen as helping to stem a panic that the Eurozone was about to sink into a deep recession. Now, Selgin added that the Fed should have taken a similar approach with adopting just a quarter point cut, but with the vow that it would deploy all its tools to make sure the coronavirus doesn't create greater havoc.
Well, you know, with yesterday's announced cut, now they only have another percent. The Fed only has another percentage point left to go. And as we said, Wall Street is expecting it. And what I don't get, Dave, everybody was beyond themselves when we bailed out the banks, GM, AIG, and all the other ones, and all those programs were created. But nobody really cares when we bail out Wall Street. It's amazing. No one says it's okay. It's okay to bail out Wall Street. Sure it is. Wall Street isn't any different than AIG and GM and all the other ones that needed the money.
They're one and the same.
They're one of the same, yeah. So it's just like, it's acceptable now. You know, we have the president calling for it. Bail him out. I don't get it. It irritates me. And but you don't hear anybody else talking about it. You know, and you have Citigroup, you got Bank of America. They're all expecting the Fed to do at least a 25 basis point here at the March meeting. Bank of America then sees another similar reduction in April. Citi sees another 50 basis points in March or 25 basis points in each month. That tells me they're expecting that these markets are going to go far, far lower. I mean, the Dow's at 27,000. It isn't that much lower, and they're expecting then have all these rate decreases. Doesn't make sense, Dave. And so Citigroup economist Hollenhorst said that either soft data or tighter financial conditions will likely convince most to cut further. Just as I just said, communicating further action, however, will be complicated. Yesterday's emergency reduction was met with a sharp rally on Wall Street that quickly evaporated. So what do you think the markets are going to do tomorrow? Major indexes suffered losses in excess of 2%. Benchmark 10-year note fell below 1% for the first time ever. This is all normal monetary policy, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't this concern you?
No,
Professor English said,
Now, wait till we get to our repo discussion.
So again, the lack of positive effect is that maybe people thought they learned that the Fed was more worried than they thought. You know, it's just, it's amazing, Dave.
It certainly is. Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester entered the conversation later in the day yesterday, saying during a speech in London that she thought the cut would help. But she noted that action from other officials, particularly on the fiscal side, which is to say Congress, and in healthcare, would likely do more to support confidence in spending by helping to contain the spread of the virus. The Fed's decision to move further will come down to the evaluation of a number of factors that will go beyond the stock market and economic reports, which operate on a lag and don't always represent current conditions. One analyst observed they, the Fed do need to see more evidence of actual concrete distractions to the business environment. Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that. But again, we'll see in 2 weeks' time.
You know, I get everybody's thinking, well, you know, they're helping us, you know, retirement accounts, pensions, blah, blah, blah. Everything that I might have forgotten. They're there to protect that, trying to help protect. Do people really think that they're there trying to help them out and to protect their money? Do you really think that they're there trying to help protect your money? Can anybody honestly say yes? Everybody knows that answer is no. But yet, what do folks do? They just go along with the program and just allow their purchasing power to decline. All everything that's going on, it just shows how inflation, when it hits, baby, it's going to hit. And it doesn't matter how many of those dollars you have left. It's still going to cost you a fortune for a cup of coffee. What do you think your health insurance is going to cost?
It's an interesting paradox, Melody. I mean, we talked just last week, I believe, about a recent annual survey that shows Americans' trust in institutions across the board remain at all-time lows. And that includes the private sector institutions, and yet we see that the vast majority of people seem to place a lot of trust in the market and in the market drivers, the market operators, be it the Fed or whomever. And it's probably just another good reason why gold and silver should be on your radar, if it isn't already.
I mean, when you look at the number of what you have, less than 1% of the investing population, or even the population, is in gold and silver. And you don't need to have 100% of the investing population in gold. We'll probably eventually see maybe 3, 4, maybe even 5% of the investing, and that's enough to propel gold to all these levels. So when I hear people say, well, who's going to be there to buy it? What do you mean, who's going to be there to buy it? People who say that really don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea what they're talking about. There's going to be there won't be enough gold to go around to fill orders. And I can remember in 2008, we look back in 2008, we think, gee, well, you know what, that really wasn't so bad. You know, here we are today, it's just a slight memory. But I remember coin prices moving $300, $400, $500 in an $80 move in gold. And I remember we couldn't find it. You couldn't buy what you wanted. We had to find what was available, and that's what you had to buy. I mean, it was still good choices, but you couldn't buy what you wanted to buy.
This is 10 years ago?
This was through 2008. Mm-hmm. I was locking in orders for $20 gold pieces. And by the time I got off the phone to lock in the price, the price increased, I'd say, well, I'll go lock them in for you, make sure they're available, know that we can ship you immediately, but I guarantee you when I come back to the phone, I'll have to increase the price. Mm. By the time I got back to the phone, prices from my wholesaler, not my prices, what I was being charged to buy them in the market, would rise $50, $60 in 10
wow.
minutes. To some degree, it was exciting. And it was important because people were preserving their wealth. These people still have their coins. They've still protected their purchasing power all these years, daily, from inflation. Because inflation happens every day. You don't look at it that way, but it does. Your purchasing power erodes on a daily basis. So they protected their purchasing power. And a woman, I remember, a lot of people say things to me that I remember, but her in particular, she said to me, she said, you know, I bought my gold, and I shared this story time and time again. I bought my gold, I put it away, I put it in my safe, and I don't even look at the stock market anymore. I know I'm safe. I got my retirement. She was a doctor. She has a retirement. She says, I got my retirement covered. She says, now what I'll do is I got my what I had covered with gold. I'll let the new part grow, and then I'll turn that into gold. And that's what you do when the casino is Wall Street. You take it. You protect it. You can still invest in it, but take what you have, convert it, save it, and then play with new money, let that grow. And then when that grows, you take that out. It's simple. But nobody follows it because we all chase the yields. We all chase the gains. We all want that big return. Why do we always look for that big return? Because people are broke. It's harder and harder to get by. That's all because of inflation. It's all because your dollar purchases less. Because we have an amount of debt. I remember living in Arizona. When my younger days, people would say to me, well, I'm going to go to Las Vegas and triple my money. And they'd be calling, can I borrow $20 to get gas to come home? Those are true stories. So that's what Wall Street is. It's fun when you're winning, but there's a reason why they have a lot of lights and they keep them on. But anyway, I don't mean, once in a while I just go off. You need to interrupt me. But, you know, how is the Fed going to, and we'll have to touch this when we come back from the break. How's the Fed, how's that going to hit your pocketbooks? Well, if you're in debt, it's going to hit you good. I mean, it's going to be beneficial for you. You can refinance your homes. And we'll talk about this when we come back from break. But if you're a saver, good luck. They don't want you to save. They want you to go in debt. They want you to take your money out of those savings where you get nothing and put it into Wall Street. But anyway, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Please stay tuned. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97%. Of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discounts Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. There's so much to talk about, so we're going to get started right away, and you know, maybe we can shorten some of these so we can get through a lot of them that we have, Dave. And you know, going into the break, we were talking about how the Fed rate could affect pocketbooks, and we've seen interest rates are now historically low, leaves very little room for the Fed leaves very little wiggle room, you know, in the event of their admitted recession. And and although the Fed funds rate, which is what banks charge one another for short-term borrowing, it really is not the rate that you and I pay, what consumers pay. The Fed moves still affect the borrowing and savings rates we see every day. On the upside, lower rates, of course, will provide for lower cost borrowing. The downside, as I mentioned this going into the break, savers are earning less interest on their savings account and most likely are losing buying power each and every single day because it doesn't keep up. It's not the same as inflation. Credit cards, most credit cards come with a variable rate, which means there's a direct connection to the Fed's benchmark rate. And with a rate cut, the prime rate lowers too. And credit cards almost always follow suit. So you might see a little bit of reduction in your percentage yield within one or two billing cycles. But however, credit card debt is still some of the most expensive debt around. I mean, credit card rates are down only slightly from a high of almost 18%. And that was when the Fed started cutting rates last July, Dave?
Yeah, and that's such an important thing to remember. I mean, we don't recommend you going into debt, but if for whatever reason you choose to do so, just beware that if you don't pay off that debt every month, you're looking at these, I mean, even at 15, an average of 15, 16%, that's still usury in my humble opinion. With bank rates now as low as they are, and they're going to go lower, I think it's outrageous, and it ought to be illegal. But, you know, more of a free market economy. People seem to be willing. I mean, people are more than $1 trillion in credit card debt, so it's certainly willing to pay these kinds of crazy rates. But even with savings accounts, which are now, you know, they're between 1.5% and as high as 2%. It's certainly up a little bit from the 0.1% that you were getting before the Fed started increasing the Fed funds rate 2015. But remember that online banks pay 10 to 20 times that amount, because they have fewer overhead expenses than traditional brick-and-mortar banks.
But with that comes greater risks.
Indeed.
And you got to remember, anytime somebody pays more, it has higher risk usually.
Yeah, indeed. Point well taken. Mortgage rates generally pegged to either directly or indirectly to the 10-year yield and a couple of other treasury note yields. You know, mortgage rates are already substantially lower since the end of last year. And as we'll talk about in a minute, they've gone even lower in the past week. So essentially what that means, if you bought a house recently, you may want to consider refinancing at a lower rate. just beware of all the decisions that go along with that. For those on planning, to purchase a new car, we're seeing the Fed decision will likely not have any material effect on what you pay, particularly immediately. Auto loan rates are still low, even after years of rate hikes. According to Edmunds, the average interest rate on auto loans is now 5.7%, which is still pretty high in my humble opinion.
Let's go ahead and start talking about the Fed injecting this liquidity into repo markets, Dave.
Well, one Fed action that fell below the radar yesterday, Melody, was its move to inject a record amount of liquidity via its repo operations to supply dealers in the interbank market. Now, while investors may have been temporarily reassured by the Dow's nearly 1,300-point rally, the global contagion and its impacts are really just beginning. Some non-Wall Street observers are saying, don't be surprised to see a 40 to 50% correction in the Dow Jones over the next month. Well, the Fed injected a record $120 billion into the market via overnight repurchase agreements. That was just yesterday. Again, this is the largest single day amount of Fed forced liquidity going back to its first repo operation in September last year, which we talked about on several occasions on this program. Previously, the Fed's largest single day repo injection was $89 billion in late October. Then on Monday, the Fed accepted $53 billion from the dealers.
And, you know, where do people think this money is going? Why do you think the market is up 1,100 points today? You know, something must be seriously wrong in these financial markets to be injecting $120 billion in a single day, no less. I mean, anybody can figure out what it means. We don't know how bad the cracks are. And most people don't even know about the I'll guarantee you most of the people in this country don't even know that the Fed is injecting $120 billion into it overnight. They don't know what a repo market is and what it does and how it functions and the importance of it. They don't talk about it on TV. You know, none of your financial, and if you bring that up to someone, they don't know what it is. They just look at you like, oh, that must just be a normal function. No, it isn't.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
Is that what they say?
And that's what they say.
Yeah, well, I beg to differ. So if we're truly at the start of the financial reset, there's little that they're able to do about it. That they'll be able to do about it. $120 billion. And I still think the big collapse, in addition to the coronavirus, it all started after the 14th of February, and they had to come back with $120 billion injection. So they can't cut back. The markets expect it, and they're not going to perform without it. So how far is the Fed willing to go to put this debt on their balance sheet, Dave? How does this increase their balance sheets? We already know that the Fed is buying treasuries.
Again, I don't know the answer to that, if assuming it wasn't rhetorical, but we are surely going to find out.
Absolutely. So private payroll, so everybody can rejoice. We get the jobs report on Friday. Heck, with everything going on, Dave, I totally forgot about that one.
Well,
so
we'll
have to, it's like, oh, what's the job report? That's not even important anymore. But I guess Moody's analytics, they came out today. Employment, excluding government jobs, rose by 183,000 for the month. Of course, it topped what everyone was expected. And of course, their numbers are always a far cry from government numbers. And this job growth came during a month in which the fear spread with the virus. Will be interesting to see next month's to see how the virus has affected the job report for March. So we'll have to see that. But any news in there, Dave, worth reporting? Any other tidbits within that report?
I think the bigger news of, of last month was January's revision.
The revision. Unbelievable.
News of what happened of the 183,000 was probably overshadowed by the downward revision to January's number, which was adjusted from an initially reported 291,000 down to 209,000.
Wow.
Now, interestingly, that was still better than Wall Street estimates, but it was way off the initial report that had pointed to the biggest monthly gain in nearly 5 years. And, well, we won't get into the political aspect of it because we could get really off the beaten track, but...
Well, that's okay.
Given what was going on in January, at the time of this release, it's not altogether surprising, in my humble opinion, that the first reported number was so good, because the White House needed really good news.
Well, let's talk about the your levity is golden today was about buying face masks.
This virus will do that to you.
I guess it will. And again, there's a lot on the consensus that, this is certainly over media sensitive. That we're still not at a point, as we said on Monday, it's something to be aware and to take care of, what you do and so forth. But I don't see any reason to stop panicking. But what's irritating is that I think the government doesn't want us to buy anything to protect ourselves, that if we buy masks, if I'm understanding correctly, it's a sign of panic. And what I was also told last night, that government is actually preventing people from purchasing these masks. So if you go online on the Amazon and purchase a mask, they have basically overtaken all orders, and you won't get your mask because it's all going to government, because government says the health workers need it more than you. So I don't know. So tell us about what's going on, Dave.
Well, medical experts have urged people, globally, not just in the U.S., have urged people to stop panic buying face masks, warning that the equipment is not an effective way to protect yourself from the fast-spreading coronavirus.
Then why is government buying them all?
Well, for healthcare workers.
Well, it was a doctor who was telling me this, and they said, well, I'm a healthcare worker, and I can't get them.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
It's their healthcare worker.
The advice is coming at a time of intensifying concern about COVID-19, which has now killed over 3,100 people worldwide. The WHO has declared the outbreak a global health emergency, with over 60 countries reporting cases of the coronavirus. Epidemiologists and infectious disease experts have been at pains to emphasize against an unwarranted scramble for face masks in recent weeks. It's particularly because the hoarding behavior, as they classify it, elevates the prospect of an equipment shortage for medical workers. The U.S. Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, in fact, tweeted over the weekend, "Seriously, people, stop buying masks. They are not effective in preventing general public from catching coronavirus, But if healthcare providers can't get them to care for sick patients, it puts them and our communities at risk. Now, the warning from America's
top doc. But you know what, Dave? That's sad that they wouldn't have enough masks anyway to protect healthcare providers for the planning of an event. I mean, heck, we know they do pandemic exercises throughout the country. They've been doing this for years. So you would think they'd be a little more prepared.
Not nearly as much as they used to with the cuts in funding. There's actually been very little of that. I mean, some private hospitals continue to do that on a regular basis.
But it should be the hospital's responsibility to make sure that there are those types of things. It's just part of the business that they're in that they would have enough.
Yeah, but I mean,
inventory.
Overall coordination, certainly the CDC, the Department of Health and Human Services, the federal government level, possibly even Homeland Security. I mean, they're.
So does that mean if there was food running out that, you know, they tell us to stop buying food because the healthcare workers need it?
No, I think that's completely different. This is an interesting case. They're particularly concerned about the surgical masks. They're the ones that the experts say aren't doing any good. The other ones, the much more cumbersome ones, the N95 masks they're called, are much better. Anyway.
I can't believe we're out of time already. I look forward to a program on Friday with you, Dave. There's so much going on. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Butch. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. Be safe. Good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. Around and have a ball.